and welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two incredible people. I have with me Jen Rosenbaum and Lola Phoenix. Hello, friends.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, Jen, I would love to know a little bit more about you and where people can find you on the internet.
Sure. My name is Jen Rosenbaum. I am a photographer, an author, a breast cancer survivor, and a mom and all the things. So I have a podcast previous to Corona called Shamelessly Feminine, and I recently started a new podcast called Life After Breast Cancer with Jen Rosenbaum, based around the book that I wrote, which is What the F Just Happened, A Survivor's Guide to Life After Breast Cancer.
Fantastic. I am so excited that you're here, and I can't wait to hear more about your podcasting journey. Lola, what about you? Where can people find you all over the place?
Hi, so I'm Lola Phoenix. I am a writer, first and foremost, I would say. I've written about all different types of topics, usually around disability, polyamory, non-monogamy, and queer issues, that sort of thing. I run a column and a podcast called Non-Monogamy Help, which you can find at nonmonogamyhelp.com, which I started the column in 2017, and then it became a podcast as well in 2019. That's pretty much it.
Fantastic. Well, let's head back into the past, and I would love to know how you started listening to podcasts and what were some of the first podcasts that you found?
For me, I think my first podcast I listened to was Serial. Like along with the rest of the world, right?
Yeah.
So good. I think there's something wrong with me because I used to listen to it to fall asleep at night. It was
like, wow. If you think there's something wrong with you because of that, then there is something wrong with a lot of people, because that is a very common occurrence that I've heard. True crime podcasts tend to be like nighttime.
Right. It's so funny. I will say, though, I think prior to that, my early days of podcasting, listening to podcasts, I started with meditation podcasts. Meditation Oasis, I remember, was the podcast. And, it's amazing how it's changed so quickly over the years. But originally, I would just use it either for relaxation or, lately more so just murder mysteries, but also, it's such a great resource for people like me, I think, that are moms and are so busy with our kids and are always in our car. It's like, you kind of feel like you could do two things at the same time. It's like, okay, all that time in the car isn't wasted because I get to learn and I get entertainment or whatever it is that I want that day.
Yeah. That's what's so special about podcasts and how many different types and styles there are. It's like, what mood am I feeling like today? Do I want true crime? Do I want just straight murder? Do I want story time? Do I want meditation? Do I want news, history? Like all of these things. And there's so much room for there to be whatever you need, even just in your own podcast queue. And I just love that Serial in particular, but so many different like entry points into podcasting as a whole allow it to kind of open up and be like, oh, I didn't realize there was more podcasts. And so anytime someone says, oh yeah, I found podcasts because of Serial, it's like, great. Where have you gone from there? Because like getting into podcasts is one thing, and then learning how many more options there are out there is just so special. All right, Lola, what about you? What got you started listening?
This is an interesting kind of journey for me. So probably around university time, 2006, 2007, I can't remember exactly how I stumbled on it. Maybe because I did get an iPod video and that was like a big gift. And for like, I'd never had anything like that before. And so I got super into podcasts. My first podcasts were actually sexual health podcasts. And that's kind of my journey into non-monogamy a little bit, where I learned about non-monogamy and how I became interested in it, not just from podcasts, but also from advice communities on LiveJournal. But that started me off there. I actually did my own podcast when I was in university, but it was pretty horrible. I didn't really have a plan for it. And it was just me whinging on about stuff that was really horrible. And I probably said really horrible things. So I'm glad that it's probably nowhere in ever that I could ever find it. But I tried that. I did push my university because I took radio journalism as well. I was super into radio journalism. I pushed us into having our first podcast, news podcast, at my university. So I was super into that. And I just, it kind of expanded into different subjects. I did have my true crime phase. However, I will say that I was listening to at one point up to 5 to 6 different true crime podcasts in a day and started getting really depressed. So I had to kind of stop that. So I don't listen to true crime anymore, but like I listen to all different types and I actually listen to one to help me fall asleep. So yeah, I really am super into them now. And I obviously have my own. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear some of your favorites as we get down there. But now I want to continue in the past and learn a little bit about what made you want to start picking up a microphone and make your first podcast.
So when I started my Shamelessly Feminine podcast, it was really a cross between having more to say than I could put in an Instagram post. And for me, my communication, I've always been better communicating verbally than in writing. As much as there's so much writing involved in the job that I do as a photographer, you know, magazine articles and Instagram posts and blogs and all sorts of things, I really do much better in a verbal communication. So for me, it was really about that. That podcast was more of an interview style. So I was able to bring on any guest that I thought would help women in any way, shape, or form live their best life. And it was a fantastic way to do that. With my podcast now, with Life After Breast Cancer, it's more about sharing stories and having co-hosts versus a guest that I just, you know, grill and interview. It's more of like, let's have communication about what our life experiences are with these real topics that the doctors don't tell you about in the waiting room. And the people in the waiting room don't talk about and the people in the office don't talk about. It's like, let's have some real life conversation. So, for me, it was always just about uplifting and getting the messages out there and addressing the topics that were kind of taboo to talk about.
So you had two different almost styles. You had the interview and then a conversation, which a lot of times people can think, oh, it's kind of the same thing. It's two people talking or three people or whatever. But the difference is you're going into an interview and you're like, okay, here are the questions we're going to talk about. Here's where we're going to go. Whereas a conversation, who knows where it will go? And you kind of have these different goals and purposes. And yet you still get to have this moment of people sharing with the world or whoever's listening, having these friends in your ears, these intimate conversations that maybe people want to listen to so that they don't have to, because maybe they don't have somebody local to themselves that they can have a conversation about, or they don't have, you know, a breast cancer survivor group local to them. And so getting to have these moments in their ears where they're feeling safe and comfortable and, oh, they're not alone. That's so special with what podcasts can do. And I am so glad that you're having those conversations.
Thank you. Yeah. It's especially in the breast cancer world, or really probably anything medical. It's so, everybody has such a different experience, even though it's a shared experience. You know, it's a funny thing. It's like, okay, we can all be breast cancer survivors, but we all have different types of breast cancer. We had different treatments. Our doctors do different types of surgeries. And the communications and the communication in that way is very important. So to be able to kind of eavesdrop on a conversation like that is the point of the podcast.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And Lola, I can imagine having non-monogamy. Can't ever say it. Let me try this again.
No, that's fine. It's hard.
It's such a hard word.
Yeah. I make it purposefully hard because I say non-monogamy, not polyamory. So feel free. It's fine.
Okay. Well, having those conversations is also such an intimate style and very different. And I can imagine that was kind of a very similar style of reasoning between why you started your podcast.
Yeah. Initially, I started writing my column because, first of all, I feel like the vast majority of advice for people in non-monogamous relationships is extraordinarily unhelpful if you are dealing with any kind of mental health issue. Or, in fact, I think anyone who, I don't know, anyone, to be honest, it's not really helpful, and I think it sets you up for failure. So I actually started to write the column after I wrote a few big pieces about, like, this is what I think. I don't think that the advice that people get works. I think that this is what I've struggled with, and this is what I'm tired about when it comes to the polyamory community, because I became quite frustrated and jaded with the polyamory community. So I started my column because people started messaging me privately for advice. So I was like, well, I like the idea of having an advice column. You know, it's a lot easier than in some ways being a therapist, because I don't have to know whether or not they took my advice. So, you know, so I started the column, and then I find it more interesting sometimes. I mean, that radio class that I took, I always have kind of a passion for radio and a passion for audio. It's a very interesting form. I like it a lot. So when I started getting a lot of letters, I was like, I could make this into a podcast as well. And so I decided to do it that way. But yeah, I think that it's really, really helpful to have somebody, especially because I know, as somebody who's autistic as well, I sometimes quite struggle with tone over text. And, you know, I feel like I communicate the exact same way via text that I do via my speaking voice. But sometimes I feel like it's not always clear to people. Whereas, like, if I speak on a podcast, if I'm talking about it, then I can really get my point across in some way, and I can really convey more emotion about something. So it's a lot more interesting and a little bit, not necessarily easier for me to edit. To be honest, sometimes the text is a little bit easier, but it's definitely much more engaging, I feel like. I can't really say what it's like to write to my column or podcast, because I haven't necessarily written to anything like that. But I think and I hope that the people who listen to it find it a little bit more comforting, especially when a lot of times I'm telling them, like, your feelings aren't bad, you aren't a bad person, you're not inherently incapable of polyamory. This experience that you have is very normal and very understandable. Being able to convey that in a verbal way is a lot more reassuring, and it's easier to convey that compassion via your voice rather than written word.
Yeah. You don't have emoji necessarily in verbal communications, and yet somehow we managed to get this, you know, have these conversations. Amazing how that works. I love the idea that you're able to, you know, help support people and let them feel that they're not alone, and that, you know, whatever their thoughts, ideas are valid. It's this whole idea of, hey, this world is huge and nobody is really truly alone. Sometimes you just have to go a little bit further to find somebody who's thinking something similar to you, which is kind of special about, you know, podcasts and how universal they are and international. And it's easy to find somebody who is going through breast cancer, like, treatment, and wants to have hope in the future, or have a connection with somebody, or is dealing with their thoughts on non-monogamy and trying to, you know, wrestle with whatever is going on in their head, and having that connection to another true, real human being that's also, like, having that thoughts, but in a safe, like, space in that moment, that intimate headphone listening. It's just what makes podcasts so special, and I love it. All right, so we are going to live in the present here just for a moment, and I would love to know what episode of what podcast would start playing if you were to open up your podcast app of choice.
for me right now.
Yes.
Here's a confession. Oh my gosh. It's pretty much anything Real Housewives. I love listening to like I have such a guilty pleasure in Real Housewives, which is funny because I'm so into, empowering women. But there's something about that show that I just can't turn away from.
Hey, they got to get that bread. You know?
That's right. And you know, the only thing better than the Real Housewives is how everybody breaks it down afterwards. And it's hilarious. And my sister-in-law and I really love to listen to the podcast and then compare our notes. So usually that's sort of my mindless listening. And that's typically what you'll find on any given day.
I love it. I love it. See, and that's why I asked this question, because it's not favorites. It's not, you know, best of. It's not that. It's the real... the real episodes of the real podcast that you listen to that are special. It's not the curated list. It's just that one podcast. All right, Lola, what about you?
Well, it depends on the time of day. If I've just woken up, then it's probably going to be an episode of Sleep With Me, because that is a podcast that gets me to sleep pretty much 99.8% of the time. And I've had wicked bad insomnia for most of my life. So that is, and it doesn't matter which episode, they're all pretty similar, but that is definitely one that I frequently listen to. Tends to be on my top, like my top most listened to podcast. Other than that, I'd say I kind of go through phases, because I would like to listen to all of the podcast rather than just the most recent episode. So right now I'm going through like all the episodes I can of I Weigh with Jamila Jamil. So it probably would be that right now, because I'm trying to get through all of the episodes, all of the ones I'm interested in listening to, at least. So it would probably be I Weigh.
Yeah, that podcast is so wonderful. I'm glad that she's doing it. I love Jamila Jamil, and having her voice out there is wonderful. All right. Final podcast related question coming up. I would like to know what your favorite podcasts are. Yes, you may have more than one. And why do you love them so much?
Currently, I'm really into Glennon Doyle's We Can Do Hard Things. I'm going through a divorce right now, and a lot of big life changes and recovery from cancer and all the trauma that all of that stuff brings. Yeah. And, her book Untamed really resonated with me. So I find that I turn that to that podcast and to Glennon for a lot of comfort and inspiration.
Sorry you're going through everything that you're going through, but I'm so happy that, you know, having this podcast is kind of helping support, again, the intimacy of podcasts coming out. I swear that's not just all I talk about, but when it's laid out on a platter like this.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, you don't have to be sorry, because, and I know that this is one of the reactions that people give often, like, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, actually, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
It's really hard, but it's going to be an amazing thing. And I think that bringing it back to the podcast world, what's so nice about it is that sometimes when you're going through something difficult, you just want, you know, some glimpses of information or hope or inspiration. And a podcast is great for that versus picking up a book and, you know, having to read through a whole book to understand how to do something. Sometimes you can just get like little snippets here and there from the podcast that really help you going.
Yeah. Yeah. And having that voice that comes from a person has that connection better than words can do. I love that. Do you have any others that you love? Like, which particular Real Housewives podcast do you love?
Oh, God. Do I have to choose one? So I love Bethany's podcast, actually, because she's great, because she'll, like, go off on a tangent in the beginning of her podcast, which is, like, it's so great. And then she'll kind of dish some real stuff sometimes about the Real Housewives. I don't have a particular Real Housewives podcast that I really like, but, Comments by Celebs will sometimes cover that stuff. That's a good one. But Bethany is very entertaining to listen to, just about her whole take on everything in life. And, you know, lately I've just been, if I'm not listening to a podcast about something inspirational and looking for some support, I'm just looking for mindless, funny, kind of take me out of my world and just make me laugh type podcasts.
Oh, I love that. Those are the escapism. There's some joy in that. All right, Lola, what are your favorite podcasts?
So many. I'd say in terms of ones that are mostly just people talking about things, The Read is one of my favorite ones. Say Your Mind as well. In terms of interview podcasts, Who Hurt You is a really good podcast. The Good Ancestor podcast is really, really good. Also, obviously, I Weigh, I've really loved. Unfiltered with Africa Brooke, I really like. Conversations with People Who Hate Me is really good. So there's so different, so many different ones. I also, because I'm super into pre-Christian Scandinavian history, the History of Vikings saga thing and Vikings Are Gay is actually, those are actually three really great, interesting podcasts. So yeah, I've got a lot of really great, interesting, different things. I'd say that the ones that I kind of listen to more on a day-to-day basis are probably The Read, and Say Your Mind and Who Hurt You are probably the most common ones. But yeah, occasionally, even just like even LeVar Burton Reads is awesome. And there's just so many really great ones out there. It's really hard to pick just one.
That's okay. That's why this is a wide open question. I love how different the podcast options are. And I know you mentioned, you know, depending on mood and whatever, like going through the day and hitting that backlog and just like, I want to live in the world of this podcast. And then being able to go through and be like, okay, I'm done. Move on to something else. And there's so many options out there. I love that. Thank you so much, both of you, sharing your favorites. And now it is time for the final question, which is the bonus question. Audience, if you have a question you would like me to ask our guests, just tweet with the hashtag FIYE bonus. That's fire! Bonus. I also would love to hear your answers to my bonus questions. Tweet with the hashtag FIYE answer. That's fire! Answer to share your answers to my questions. So this episode's question is, if you could shrink or grow to ride any non-horse animal like a horse, which animal would you choose?
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. So you can take any animal and either shrink it down so it's about the size of a horse, so like an elephant or a dinosaur or a whale for some reason, or grow if you want to ride an ant or like a chihuahua or something. Which animal would you choose?
Oh, gosh. I want to say a giraffe.
Nice.
I'm not sure if I need to shrink it or grow it. I think shrink
it. Probably shrink it a little bit to be able to more easily get on it. I feel like the running, you might want to just walk with the giraffe. I don't know if you've ever seen a giraffe run, but they have a gait that would be very interesting to ride on. But that's a great choice.
I just think that they're beautiful animals. I don't know. I don't know why I chose it. It's the first thing that came to my mind. So there you go.
I love it. It's a perfect answer. There is literally no wrong answer except for a horse. You can't say a horse to this answer. All right, Lola, what would you choose?
I think I'll probably cheat because I feel like whether you pick like a cat or anything else, this sort of experience would be similar. However, if you were to pick a flying animal, it would probably be a lot more different than you could ever experience even as a human riding a horse, so I would probably like shrink down to something that would be extremely unnoticeable and maybe ride a crow because I have to be kind of goth like that. So that's probably what I do. Because I'd imagine that they wouldn't take kindly to having anything being on their back. And I don't know how that would actually affect their flying. So I'd have to be like a flea or something.
Well, you know what? This is an imaginary world, so it wouldn't affect them at all. And it would be great. You could hang out with a crow and fly all over the place. I love that. Both of those answers are absolutely perfect. Well done. And thank you so much for joining me. And thank you, audience, for listening to Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter at Friends in Ears. You can find Jen at Jen Rosenbaum and Lola at Non-Monogamy Help. And I am at Mrs. Soup. Thank you again so much. And I hope you all have an absolutely amazing day.